Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you enjoy watching game shows? Personally, I enjoy watching shows like Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. Not that I actually have a cable service at the moment to watch them on, but that's beside the point. Shows that test your knowledge. Sometimes I would watch shows like Face Off or Chopped or those kinds of competition shows that will test someone's abilities and talents in a specific field. In the case of Face Off, that would be makeup and costume design. In the case of Chopped, that would be cooking. I am not nearly that good, although I do kind of sometimes feel like it's opening up a basket and seeing random things to make food from these days, but that's another story altogether. I can't actually do either of those things, but it's fun to watch. The reality competition show that comes to mind for me in reading our first reading today from the Book of Acts is one that I haven't actually watched, though I think everyone is familiar with it since the catchphrase went viral and the star is our president. Yes, The Apprentice, in which Donald Trump brought in a group of people who would compete for a contract to promote a Trump property. The contestants would compete against one another in various projects, and each episode ended with one contestant being told, "You're fired." The last episode of each season ended with the winner hearing, "You're hired." After Trump announced his candidacy for president and left the show, but I kind of think they missed an opportunity for a spinoff, The Secretary, with Trump filling out his cabinet in game show format. But, oh well. Anyways, our reading for today is also about a group of candidates to fill out an important vacancy. Not The Apprentice, but The Apostle. Now, you'll remember that early on in his ministry, Jesus chose 12 apostles. He gave them authority to cast out demons, to proclaim in his name, to raise the dead, to perform all of these miracles. Jesus sent them out two by two to all the places he was going to go. 12 is a significant number in Scripture representing the totality of God's chosen people. Jacob, Israel, had 12 sons, so there were 12 tribes of Israel. In Revelation, there are 12 gates to enter the New Jerusalem. When the 12 tribes are listed in Revelation, John lists 12, even if Joseph is used instead of Ephraim, and Dan is omitted entirely to make the number line up. Even in Jesus' ministry, we see this 12 again, in addition to the 12 apostles. At the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets of leftovers remaining. And so Judas was one of these 12 apostles. In fact, arguably he was actually among the Jesus' closest followers, being as he was the one with the money bag. After all, generally you don't choose someone as your CFO, chief financial officer, that you don't trust. Now, Jesus knew all along that he was a thief and a robber, and he was embezzling from them, but that's beside the point. But yet, Judas handed Jesus over to the Sanhedrin in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. Now, was it God's intent from the beginning that Judas would betray Jesus? Yes, actually it was. It was prophesied several times in the Old Testament that Jesus would be betrayed and that it would be 30 pieces of silver. Was it a forgivable crime that Judas betrayed Jesus? Yes, that also is forgivable. Nevertheless, Judas committed suicide in despair after his terrible sin. While he felt regret for his action, he did not repent of it. And regret and repentance are not the same thing. And so Judas betrayed, despaired, and died. And that left a vacancy. He did this terrible thing. Now they need another apostle to replace Judas, so they will still have 12 apostles. And so Peter and the rest of the 11 fill this vacancy after the ascension in verses 21 and 22 of our reading. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. It's rather appropriate for us to be reading this text and to be discussing this text today on the seventh Sunday of Easter, when the church just celebrated the ascension 3 days ago on Thursday. There are two men who fit this criteria, Joseph Barsabbas, also called Justus, and Matthias. The disciples, or the group of the disciples, pray, they cast lots, the lot falls for Matthias, and Matthias becomes the 12th apostle. Now, there's something to note here is that when it says that they cast lots for them, that essentially means that they flipped a coin. We think of gambling as being a sin, but that's not always the case. The Old Testament uses the Urim and Thummim, essentially lots, or what we oftentimes translate as lots, to allow God to speak. It's not clear what the Urim and Thummim was, whether it was a coin, whether it was a stick, what have you. But it was something that you would throw, it would come up as either Urim or Thummim, depending on the answer. In this case, the disciples have a choice between two equally valid options in Barsabbas and Matthias. And rather than make this choice themselves, they pray and they allow God to speak through the lots in terms of who God would choose. This is essentially handing the choice entirely to God when it's understood correctly. God is in control of all things, so when I flip a coin, God knows how it's going to end up. And so this is handing the choice to God. To take a more modern example, if we were painting the sanctuary and we had a choice between hot pink and neon green and we were perfectly happy with either of those choices, I'm getting funny looks from everyone who's here. You might say you'd want to flip a coin and leave the final decision to God whether we're going to worship in a hot pink church or a neon green church. You can kind of see the walls in the live stream, but you can't see the side walls. So I'm not saying that we did that, but I'm also not saying that we didn't. Anyways, let's take a closer look at the criteria that the apostles used in their replacing of Judas. You might think that after this whole wolf in sheep's clothing thing with Judas, the apostles might want to add some pretty strict morality clauses built in for who's going to replace Judas. You don't want to replace a thief with a murderer. That would rather seem reasonable. After enduring a scandal, who wants another scandal? I wonder if President Clinton's indiscretions were part of the reason voters chose someone like President Bush, who speaks like a Baptist preacher. On the flip side, I wonder if after President Trump, we'll have a president who's more in line with Vice President Pence for some of the same reasons. But that's beside the point. However, morality actually has nothing to do with the criteria that the apostles put forth for the new apostle. In fact, morality would probably exclude all of the existing apostles, to be completely honest. Peter denied, Judas betrayed, Thomas demanded evidence, Simon the Zealot may have been a political zealot, one or two of them were tax collectors, which is probably worse than a murderer in this culture. According to Matthew and Mark, all the disciples fled from Jesus in the garden and at the cross. So morality is not one of their criteria. All the disciples care about is that it be a man who has been there from the beginning. What do they say? One of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. So what does this say about the purpose of an apostle? An apostle, apostello in Greek, means to be sent with a commission, or to send with a commission. So an apostle is one who has been commissioned or sent with a commission. They're commissioned to do what? To bear witness to what they have seen and what they have heard. The apostles all have personal knowledge of Jesus' ministry and of his resurrection, have been there from the beginning and were there to witness his resurrection. When Peter says this Jesus God raised from the dead in his Pentecost sermon, he is speaking from his personal experience of having seen the risen and living Christ firsthand with his own two eyes, having handed him a piece of fish to eat on the day after his resurrection. In other words, it doesn't matter who the apostle is, it matters what they have seen. That was the case for the apostles. But what about us? Now, I'm pretty sure no one who's watching this right now has personally witnessed Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. I'm pretty sure there's no one watching this who's more than 100 years old, and it happened 2,000 years ago. But you are still a witness. Not all of those chosen as Jesus' witnesses were there for everything. Paul began as an opponent and converted years after the crucifixion. James and Jude, Jesus' own brothers, disbelieved until after the resurrection when Jesus appeared to them personally. For these, the testimony of which they were witnesses was that handed down to them by the apostles, by others. Yes, they had personal visions of Jesus, but that was not all. For us also, we have the witness handed down by others. We have the witness set before us in God's word, in Holy Scripture, expert witness accounts delivered down to us from those who were present at that time, who saw it with their own eyes, who lived through it and experienced it. What you've read in Scripture, you are then called to relate to those who need to hear it. And so you also have this witness. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit working in and through us in baptism as promised by Christ when he promised to send the Holy Spirit to his people. The Holy Spirit dwells in us through baptism, and you were chosen by God when the water was poured on your forehead, marking you as his child. Now, what is the role of an apostle? It's not to convert people. Your job is not conversion. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, creating faith in people's hearts. The role of the apostles, that is your role, is simply to tell what you know, what you have witnessed, what you have read in the witness of Scripture. So unlike all of those competition shows, there is no single winner of the apostle. Matthias is chosen as one of the 12 apostles, but Barsabbas is also an apostle. Peter is one of the 12, but so is Paul. Thomas and John and the rest are all apostles, and so are you. You have been chosen by God as his witness to speak his truth to those who need to hear it. You are his apostle, and you have been given a task and a message. Not because of anything inherently good in you that God would choose you, but because of the Spirit whom he has placed in you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.